The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Meanwhile, on planet Earth, hours before KD's trade request became public, Ben Simmons took to Instagram in a very ill-timed Instagram saying,
does that not sum up everything that's going on in Brooklyn right now?
Feeling incredible. Yeah, it's, how should he be feeling now?
By the way, little unrecognized detail in the background there. Those are some Kyrie Irving shoes in the background.
Oh, my.
Next level.
Next level.
Wendy, Nick, your thoughts?
I just love that we're introing the segment on Meanwhile on Planet Earth and going into all this fun.
We are.
The Nets are not on Planet Earth. They're on Planet Kyrie.
Oh, and the Earth, yeah, and Kyrie, that's a whole nother subject as we welcome you back to Get Up live at the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. Friday of this holiday weekend, these fellas here are changing their plans as we speak. Oh, my gosh, beginning with the Woj bomb of yesterday. We got Wendy here. We got Tim here. We got Nick here. All the voices you want to hear about a trade that could transform the NBA for years to come. Kevin Durant requesting a trade from the Brooklyn Nets. General manager Sean Marks is working with KD and Rich Kleiman, his business rep, to find a trade partner. So if this is the end of KD and Kyrie, then it's fair to say that it did not go according to plan, including the playoffs. The two played a total of 58 games together across three seasons out of 247 scheduled games. And most importantly, of course, they won just one playoff series together. So KD coming here with a grand plan to come with Kyrie and win a championship out of the shadow of the Warriors, and it's all blowing up 18 months after the big three came together. How do we get here, Wendy?
You know, I think it was the way the last season ended. The Nets organization decided that they were not going to run it back. And then you had Kyrie, when he opted into his contract, saying, we're going to run it back. And that, even though that wasn't the only thing that happened, it was the breaking point. And Kevin Durant was the one who ended up pulling the ripcord here. But it might as well, it could have well been the Nets. The Nets might have gotten to a point where they wanted to break them up anyway. Maybe not this week, but I don't think they could stomach the concept of bringing them back. And the reason that that got to that point is a multi-layered situation with multiple people involved in it. But it was clear the Nets could not stomach the concept of having another season where they were, you know, being left by the whims of Kyrie Irving, and that affected and really infected everything that was going on.
I mean, you said there were two tentpole dates in this one that you talked about in our meeting this morning that you can really bookend this story.
Yeah, I think you could sum everything that's happening right now back to two dates. In October, when the Nets said to Kyrie Irving, you need to be all in or all out and either get the vaccine or not play at all. He chose to not play at all, sending a clear message that he was going to do what he thought was best for him and not the team, unlike Andrew Wiggins in Golden State, for example. And then in December, in the middle of December, when the Nets brought Kyrie Irving back in the middle of the season, which, by the way, we all forget, they were in first place in the Eastern Conference and rolling along, and things were great. They bring back Kyrie Irving. 6 weeks later, James Harden's gone, and that's the beginning of this thing, as you said earlier, going kablooey.
Yeah, Nick Friedell, he lived this thing day to day. Nick, I want to get your perspective after we talk to Woj really quick, because Woj is available to us. And Woj, obviously, this could be a transformational trade for any team. It could make a team a title contender immediately. So what is the very latest on trade talks as we know it this morning?
Yeah, Hannah, the volume of calls and really the ferocity of the inquiries over the last 18 hours or 15 hours, however long it's been since the trade request was made. You know, it's been unlike, I think, teams on both sides, both the Nets and those who would like to be involved in getting Kevin Durant have experience in the league, because there simply hasn't been a player like Kevin Durant available for trade with 4 years left on his deal, and certainly at or very close to the apex of his talents. And so I think for Brooklyn, you know, they'll take some time here to sort through. I think the variety of the kind of directions they can go. Is it going to be, you know, young players in draft picks? Is it going to be picks and a veteran all-star who could come in and plug in with Ben Simmons and Patty Mills and Joe Harris and that team and still have, you know, a very good team? I think all of those avenues are available to Brooklyn, and there's no shortage of suitors and teams who, you know, some teams said to me, you know, we called back and countered off our first offer, upped it without even Brooklyn countering us. That's not how any of us normally do business. But nobody wants to be left having not offered enough, and Brooklyn does a trade somewhere else and they don't get a chance at KD.
Yeah, and keep in mind, the reason we're talking about picks so much, obviously, for those at home who may not remember that they traded their picks to acquire James Harden, of course, is now in Philly. And listen, we know that KD tied his fates to Kyrie Irving here in New York. So what does all of this mean for Kyrie?
Yeah, listen, I think they may not move in the same deal. I think that's that remains to be seen. I think that's less likely. There's a much shorter list of teams who would be interested in Kyrie Irving, but there will be interest. There is interest in him. I think that's a different process. I think that's nobody has to think very hard about whether KD fits in if they can make a trade. But I think certainly with Kyrie Irving in the last year of his contract, there are going to be opportunities for trades for Irving. But I think, listen, for this Brooklyn organization, the two of them were obviously very tied together. They came in together. KD wanted to help Kyrie Irving get that contract extension that he didn't get this year in Brooklyn. But I think the market for Kyrie Irving, you know, that may play out in a little different way, especially as some teams get out of free agency. You know, other trades they might make fall through. Free agents may leave their team and they look and they say, could we assimilate Kyrie Irving into our team? I just think that's a different process and a different conversation than the all-out pursuit of offering up, you know, your best assets for Kevin Durant.
Right. In a trade unlike any, I mean, maybe Kawhi a few years ago as a comparison, but you're looking at a player who many consider to be the best in the NBA. He's available. He's available for 4 years. So stay tuned, as they say, Woj. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
and I believe now we also have a future Hall of Famer, Vince Carter, joining us this
hour. How
are
you doing? What's going on,
DC, looking at this from afar, what is your perspective?
You know, from afar, it's kind of like if he were to say he wanted traded, you wouldn't be surprised. But at the same time, it's like, okay, wow, and where could he go? And so I have so many questions, and I do have a question for the panel that I'll ask. But more than anything, I think Kevin Durant is making the decision because of everything that has gone on, all the potential, but everything that has been said prior, you know, about him going to Golden State and winning, and then now can he do it on his own? And he has a great opportunity. And now, so my question for the panel is, how come Kevin Durant didn't, you know, decide maybe I'm staying and ask them to move Kyrie and bring in assets to win there instead of doing it the other way? Now, maybe, you know, hear me out real quick. Maybe he's, you know, because of what Sean Marks says, you know, sometimes when you go at Kevin Durant or say something that feels like it's directed at him, he fires back. It's something like this as well. But to the panel, whoever wants to answer that, why doesn't Kevin Durant possibly stay home and demand them to move and find someone else to bring in with him?
Well, I think Nick's probably, listen, I mean, he's been with this team day to day and really understands the dynamic between those two players. So, Nick?
Vince, the reality is the drama overwhelmed this group. And I think Kevin just wants a fresh start elsewhere. Tim mentioned, Hannah, some of the key dates in this timeline. I'll take you back to January 12th in Chicago. We're at the United Center. The Nets have just dominated the Bulls, who at the time were leading the East, with James Harden, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving all on the floor. Everybody is beaming walking out of that locker room. Harden sits at the press conference table and goes, I'm going to give Kyrie the shot myself. Because they knew that if he took it, everything sets up for them to make a run for the Nets, who had played really well going into the first of the year.
I mean, they were tantalizingly good when they were on the floor together, the three of them, right?
They were right there, Hannah.
Yeah.
A few days later, Kevin Durant injures his knee. He's out for a couple months. Harden realizes in that moment, in that time frame without KD, nothing's going to change Kyrie's mind. He is not taking that shot. They go to Harden and they say point blank, are you here? And he says, I'm out of here. I don't want to deal with this stuff anymore. I don't know what's going to happen. That set the tone for everything else we've seen. And I think if you hit all those Nets execs with the truth serum and they had to go back in time and make a decision, do we bring Kyrie back on a part-time basis or not? The answer is no, because it upset the rhythm of everything that team wanted to accomplish. And in the end, I've never seen a team fit so much drama into a five-month span. And to Vince's question, why this happened and why Kevin didn't come back and say, oh, let's start over here and let's make it work, he saw all the writing on the wall, and there are way too many problems to fix to make it work in the short term and get this team back to Vince, a title level.
Vince, yesterday when Kevin Durant talked to Joe Tsai and asked him to be traded, Joe Tsai said, we're gonna accommodate you and make that happen. They were both ready to move on. You know, when you tender your resignation is instantaneously accepted. It means both sides are ready to move on. And I think that that was the billionaire was done. The billionaire was done with this group. You can debate whether that's a smart decision. Maybe they should look at just trading Kyrie and try to run it back with Durant. The billionaire lost faith, and that's all that really matters when it comes to franchise decisions.
And what does this say, and Vince, let me start with you and take it out to the table here. What does this say about the model of a super team, about what makes a super team work and what makes a super team an abject failure like this? I mean, can we call this the biggest bust of a so-called super team that we've ever seen?
You
Vince, what's your perspective tying your fate to other players in this way?
To me, it's kind of like what the panelist said about just bumps in a row, injuries, and guys willing, you know, and staying in the fight and staying on the course. You know, when you bring guys together, that means everybody has agreed, wait, we're going to do this. You look at what the Miami Heat did. You put that team together. They were able to win. Yes, they struggled the first year, but they figured it out. You know, now guys are, you know, in the way the world is and the NBA is now, you know, organizations move off of coaches quickly. They move off of players when things aren't working, situations like that. And I think, you know, when you have a guy like Kyrie who, you know, was kind of doing his own thing, you know, we know Kevin Durant, when, you know, he makes up his mind and he feels attacked. And, you know, to add to what you were saying, Wendy, I think what Sean Marks was saying, like, you know, we're willing to move off of them. That's, I mean, it's not an attack, but he's making it clear. And sometimes, you know, Kevin Durant says, all right, fine, this is what it's going to be. Now I'm ready to move on. And it was mutually understood. But I think when you put a team, a super team like that, that's what you get, is that you have to get some understanding from throughout for it to work. And they did not have that.
Yeah, everybody has to be all in, and that just wasn't the case.
Yeah, I mean, you can have – the NBA is a talent league. I mean, Vince Carter knows that better than anybody, right? You're only ever going to win with talent. But you can't win if you have the talent running the show like it was in Brooklyn. Like, it just wasn't a sustainable long-term model. It was how the Nets got them in the door in the first place, but it wasn't how it was going to work. You look at these teams that have won. Look at Golden State. I mean, Golden State has – it's a homegrown super team, but that's certainly a super team. But that works because everybody there from top to bottom – is all working together. And that ultimately is how you're going to have long-term sustained success, is when you have everybody all in, but all into the same plan. And in Brooklyn, that was never the case.
Yeah, I mean, you were there. Case in point, Andrew Wiggins getting the vaccine when he didn't really want to.
Hannah, it's the perfect parallel, because Andrew Wiggins was part of that vaccine. And his teammates were telling him, hey, we're all doing this. We need you in order to accomplish what we want this season. We need you to get the shot, because in order to play in San Francisco, just like in New York City, you had to take it. Wiggins didn't want to do it, but he wanted to keep his money. He wanted his spot in the league, and he wanted to do it for the group. And when he took that shot, it brought the Warriors closer than they've been in several years. And it set up for Wiggins what was the best year of his career. He helped them win a finals. He was an all-star starter, and he played great and changed the narrative forever about himself and his game. You compare that to what happened in Brooklyn. Kyrie didn't take the shot. He only heightened the perception that he's not all about the team, and his choice not to get it derailed the entire season.
And at the center of it all, that balance of power that was off from the very beginning. And here we are. All right, coming up, much more on Katie's bombshell request. Where could he go? We're going to talk about that next. Where could Kyrie end up? Jalen Rose in the house. We're going to hear from him for the first time. And the other huge story, UCLA and USC are headed to the Big Ten. Are we headed towards two super conferences in college football?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Kevin Durant has requested a trade from the Brooklyn Nets. This is seismic.
Kyrie Irving ruined the franchise. Kevin Durant has had enough.
Wherever he ends up, a lot of people are going to make that team the favorite to win it all.
It is an opportunity for Kevin Durant to sort of reclaim the story of his career.
So much more on KD and more on Gather. Huge news from college football. USC and UCLA are leaving the Pac-12 to join the Big Ten. Starting in 2024, the vote was unanimous when Big Ten presidents and chancellors met last night. That's not a surprise. And if you're thinking that this sounds like a lot of travel getting from SoCal to the rest of the schools in the Big Ten, you get an A in geography, because take a look at this map tweeted out by Field Yates. Just for some perspective, let's say you're at Rutgers and you want to fly all the way to SoCal, or you have to, that is a longer flight than actually flying from New York to Iceland. So think about that as Heather Dinich and Paul Feinbaum joins us now for more on this seismic shift. And Heather, as Paul is chuckling there at the notion of all of this travel and what it means, first of all, tell us how this all came down and why.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more.
Hannah, USC and UCLA reached out to the Big Ten about this possibility, and they're not the only ones paying attention to this. Every athletic director and university president from coast to coast is watching as the Big Ten and the SEC separate themselves as the largest and wealthiest conferences in the country. The Big Ten is on the brink of what is reportedly going to be a billion-dollar TV deal that could pay its schools upwards of $100 million annually per school. So for USC and UCLA, this is about following the money and best positioning not only their football programs, but their Olympic sports programs as well financially for the future. UCLA athletic director Martin Jarman texted me last night and he said, "We cannot afford to stand still."
There you go. It's all about show me the money, Paul. What are your thoughts about this on the heels of what we've seen from the SEC?
Yeah, sometimes I'm wondering, Hannah, whether I'm watching college sports or I'm inside the boardroom at Goldman Sachs, because there really is not much difference when we talk about billions of dollars. And all this was predicated a year ago when Oklahoma and Texas bolted the Big 12 for the SEC. It left the Big 10 in a very vulnerable position for a proud league. And they looked around and they got the call that they needed. They've always wanted Notre Dame. We'll get to that in a minute. But they got the call from Southern Cal, which is on the same plane. There are very few schools in college football history that rank near or above Southern Cal. And the Trojans were languishing in the Pac-12, which really doesn't have much going for it. They have a conference network that has been struggling. Their network affiliations are not very good. They can't get in the college football playoff. And now they have a landing spot, and this happens very quickly in 2 years. And it really puts every school that matters in college football in play, and that's what's happening today. It's athletic directors scrambling literally for their existence.
Yeah, the question is, too, where do we go from here? I mean, really, are we headed to two super conferences, perhaps? How many teams are going to be involved? Kirk Herbstreit has some thoughts about that. I want to play you what he said on SportsCenter and get your reaction.
I think that's where this thing, when the dust settles, that's where we're going to be. And with about 50 to 55 teams, half of them in the Big Ten, half of them in the SEC, for simplifying it, think AFC, NFC, and the NFL. We're going to have that. Saturdays, you're going to have three divisions, West, Middle, and East, or South, and that's what it's going to be.
Paul, do you see college football going this way?
Yeah, Hannah, I don't think it can go that large because it's right now it's hard for anyone outside of about 10 schools to keep up with the Alabamas and the Ohio States and the Georgias and the Clemsons of the world. So I think it's a little bit different. Right now you have a 14 school conference. It's about to go to 16 in the SEC and the Big Ten. I think the number to keep your eye on is 20 for the Big Ten and 20 for the SEC. 18 just doesn't seem big enough. And what does that do? That puts a lot of really good schools in play already in the Pac-12. You have Oregon and Washington probably looking to join the two LA schools. The ACC is really intriguing. You have Clemson, which is the big dog in the ACC, and I think they want out, and they probably could be joined perhaps by North Carolina, which is very valuable. And then, Hannah, there is Notre Dame. Notre Dame years ago couldn't figure out a way to deal with the Big Ten. That there's some real simmering bitterness there that never vanished. They have this weird relationship, kind of half in, half out with the ACC. They play everything but the sport that matters. And I think Notre Dame is a school that's in play, and I think it comes down to the Big Ten, and yes, even the SEC could have a shot at Notre Dame.
Yeah, what are the possibilities for Notre Dame, Heather?
Well, contractually speaking, as long as Notre Dame's other sports are a member of the ACC, if it were ever to join a conference, it would have to be the ACC. But if Notre Dame were to withdraw, then its football team could play wherever it wanted to. It couldn't do that without paying financial penalties. It would have an exit fee. It would have to pay a grant of rights fee. Notre Dame sold its TV rights for those sports, but I have a hard time believing that they would be too concerned about paying that penalty. for those Olympic sports. So you can bet that Notre Dame, just like everybody else, is waiting and watching to see what this Big Ten TV deal is going to wind up
and
looking like.
And, of course,
like.
Notre Dame with that big NBC contract. Jack Swarbrick has held off and all of those before him from joining a conference and now sitting in the catbird seat. Much more to discuss with the two of you. Thanks for being with us on this Friday. Unbelievable how this college landscape just keeps changing, as does the landscape of the NBA. Now that Kevin Durant has demanded a trade, what happened? Where should he go? Jalen Rose joins us next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Get Up. I'm Ryan Smith in for Greeny. You know who I'm talking about, y'all.
Do I love it? No.
How about that?
Everyone wants to laugh. And this is worth laughing about.
Acho, acho, man.
Ooh. Does Kyrie want to be in LA right now?
I don't know what Kyrie wants.
Go figure.
This is kind of silly.
Huh? I don't know.
This is awesome stuff.
PK will never throw away a peanut.
Never say never.
Not going
to
happen.
I'm going to break that rule. I'm going to say never.
We learned so much on this show.
Looks like Pete McConville dancing back there, one of our producers.
Now you're not going to be on Get Up anymore.
I think Pete McConville wishes he could dance like this.
Put some boxing gloves on and let's see what happens.
I chose the fun police.
That is hilarious. I just want to see Greeny put some gloves on. Ryan, you can box Greeny.
I'm not boxing Greeny.
Whoever wins gets the show.
If that happened, Greeny wouldn't be back, and he's got to be back.
Fun week, and could you end it in any better way? The Woj bomb yesterday in the 2 o'clock hour, and here we are. A decision that could transform the NBA for years to come. Kevin Durant requesting a trade from the Brooklyn Nets. Nets general manager Sean Marks is working with KD, with his business manager Rich Kleiman, on some possible destinations. And we have Wendy, we have Tim, and for the first time, Jalen Rose. We have heard you weigh in on this at all. So let me start right there. Jay, what is your reaction to everything that's transpired?
My initial reaction is it takes courage to be happy, regardless of the relationship, whether it's family, friends, whether it's somebody you date, and whether it's somebody you're in business with. So many people woke up this morning and in dysfunctional situations that they can walk away from, but they don't have the courage to. Kevin Durant was looking around. He was like, I know I was the person as the best player that was the lead domino for Kyrie and I to be a dynamic duo as we got together in 12-22 of 20. Then a month later, they took it a step further. James Harden forced his way out of Houston, quit on Houston, came in camp out of shape, quit on Houston to go to the Nets. Then we had what everybody deemed was going to be the greatest big three since Miami did it with Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and LeBron James, and people were already counting championships. They only played around 20 or so games together. But here's to me where it got tricky, when Kyrie didn't get vaccinated. Because what ends up happening now is it puts more pressure on KD to stay healthy. It puts more pressure on James Harden to look at KD like, wait a minute. Y'all had me force my way out of Houston, but your man ain't getting vaccinated. So then James Harden quit on the Nets. He started dogging it. Hey, Hannah, there's footage in Detroit this past year where the ball rolled into the backcourt. And James Harden let the ball roll to his feet, never bent over to pick it up. Mm-hmm. When a Piston player went and dunked the ball, and I looked at the sideline, and nobody said nothing to Harden. Not a coach, not another player. When I said that, I was like, this ain't going to work. And then so you graduate the story more, and the Nets become the only team not to win a playoff game. See, last year, KD was so very terrific in the playoffs against the Bucks. Even though they lost, people kind of gave them a moral victory, saying if they would have had a healthy Harden, if they would have had a healthy Kyrie, they would have won. But that didn't matter because the Bucks went on to win the championship. So now all of a sudden you get into this offseason, the Nets look back at the last 3 years and they're like, you know what? We're not going to take back our organization. When we brought them to us, Kyrie said, coaching ain't really important to us. So what did they do? They didn't go hire one of the greatest coaches. They wouldn't hire Steve Nash because he could do a really good job and he was familiar and he's an all-time great player. But also that made the players comfortable. And when you watch them play against the Nets, you notice Ime Udoka can challenge Jason Tatum. He can challenge Jaylen Brown. Kyrie wasn't going to be challenged by Steve Nash. KD knows that too. So when Kyrie opts back in, KD's like, I'm out of here, period. And so the crazy thing is not he's just breaking up with the Nets. He's also breaking up with Kyrie. This is one of the most fascinating things in the history of the NBA to see an all-time great player like KD go to the Warriors, win back-to-back finals MVPs, leave the Warriors so he can be the best player leading a championship situation with Kyrie Irving. They have to watch two of their former teams play in the finals. And then the Warriors win it without you? That has to be the final straw for KD. This is fascinating.
Masterful layout of the history of the Nets in just a few minutes. Jalen, appreciate that. And Wendy, can you add a little bit of perspective onto what Jalen said?
Yeah, I think it was not just Durant. It was also the organization.
And giving too much power to Durant and KD?
Yes, they certainly did. And, you know, remember the landscape when Durant and Kyrie went there. There was a bunch of teams that had salary caps. The Lakers were trying to get these guys. The Clippers were trying to get these guys. The Knicks were trying to get these guys. You weren't just competing, you know, to get their attention. You were competing with all these other teams. And so the deal that they made, which was not only are we going to sign you to huge contracts, we're going to give you influence, is what helped them get the deal done. But right from the very start, it was built on a sand foundation, especially knowing that Kyrie hadn't proven that he could be an effective leader. And really, Kyrie was the leader. You know, the crazy thing is that even though Durant is the better player and is in position to lead,
right,
Kyrie was kind of the lead voice. And you know, it could have worked, but it was always suspect. And when Steve Nash took that job, there were people in the league going, wow, Steve, like, it could be great, it could be awful. And they knew that going in. But they bet on the talent, and the talent let them down.
Well, yeah, what was so tantalizing was that talent. Even in the short stretches we saw, I mean, they were favorites to win the NBA title because they were so unstoppable in those rare times when they were on the court together.
Well, I think Jalen's point about the Celtics and Ime Udoka is really interesting because let's go back to last playoffs, right? I mean, Jalen talked about the series that Kevin had against the Milwaukee Bucks. Let's go back to look at when they played against the Boston Celtics. They destroyed the Celtics in the first round. It's the one time all three guys are really healthy. And at that point, it looked like they were going to be this super team, right? The Celtics, right after that series, they'd have Brad Stevens go up to be president of basketball operations. Danny Ainge moves on, and they hire Ime Udoka. When you look at what the Boston Celtics did this year, going to the NBA Finals, Ime Udoka coming in and having accountability up and down the roster, challenging his best players publicly, repeatedly, throughout the season. Early in the year, there were a lot of people going, man.
Day one, he was on them.
What is Ime Udoka doing? He's challenging these players. It's not going to work out.
And it took a while for it to work out, but it
came together, and that team had a great season. And that accountability Jalen was talking about was there for the Celtics from top to bottom. And with the Nets, from day one, with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, it was about what they wanted, and it was never about what the team wanted. And I think that dynamic there, and especially when you have the Nets come back and get blown out by the Celtics this year, it's just a fascinating dichotomy in how those two teams are set up and where they both are now.
Yeah, and Jay, you look at the places that KD wants to go, and talking about coaches and strong coaches, Eric Spoelstra in Miami, Monty Williams with the Suns, where would you like to see KD go?
Well, I am a Detroit native, but, you know, that's another subject for another day. But what I will say is this. If I'm the Nets, and Wendy, you know this, both of you guys know this, I ain't rushing, Hannah. I'm not panicking. KD's under contract for the next 3 or 4 years. I am not rushing this deal. I know he wants to go to Miami. I know he wants to go to the Suns. But I'm going to get the best deal. And if that deal happens in July, if that deal happens in February, that's when we'll work on it. Because guess what's going to happen when they trade KD and or Kyrie? The Nets are going to be irrelevant. They were already the B team in their own market with these guys on the roster. They won the same amount of playoff games as the New York Knicks did this year. So for Kevin Durant, any team could be a great fit because he's a dynamic player. But one of the things Tim also just mentioned, one of the lead dominoes for KD going to the Warriors, besides they were a turnkey team that won 73 games before he arrived, he clearly said he didn't want to be the leader. He said he wanted to focus on playing basketball, having fun doing so. Well, now when you get to the Nets, that responsibility lies on you and Kyrie because you're the guys that have the championship pedigree. And let's say a name that hasn't been mentioned just yet, Ben Simmons. How did he pass a physical? So let me get this right. I've been traded 150 times. How does a guy get to a team, not play, have surgery, and pass a physical? That also has to be something that KD's looking at. Like, wait a minute. We don't even know what we're going to get from Ben Simmons. And, of course, the Nets social posted a picture of Ben Simmons working out yesterday.
Yep.
Right before KD's announcement about wanting to be traded. You can't make this up.
No, you can't. And by the way, Ben Simmons may not be on the roster either. I mean, is he still valuable to them, really, without those scorers, KD and Kyrie? And also, there's a whole list of superstars they can't trade for long as this guy is on the roster. Really quickly, Wendy, before we leave, how complicated is this? Jay said, take your time. They're almost going to have to, right?
Yeah, I don't think this is going to end up. It could obviously be a two-team deal, but I think it's trending towards it being a multi-team trade where either the Nets or a team that's going to trade players stuff to the Nets is going to go out and improve the offer. And that's why the Nets should possibly wait. But I don't know. It could happen in the next few days. It could take 2 weeks. But I will say this. Jalen said that, you know, they're going to be irrelevant. I honestly believe this, that the billionaire owner, Joe Tsai, would rather have a team that plays hard, that he's proud to own, that wins 40 games and fights for the play-in, than would have a team that has way more talent that he's not proud to be a part of. And I think he would maybe enjoy going back to before Durant and Kyrie were there, and they were the feisty team that was making the eighth seed.
He hasn't loaned a team for very long, so we'll see how long he feels about that. If they are,
yeah, but you can own a team with all the talent in the world if you don't get it done on the floor.
True.
That is no fun.
And to Jalen's point, 3 years ago, he and I sat here and did get up for a week, the first week of free agency, and we waited all week to see what happened with Kawhi Leonard, and the whole league stopped. And I think for right now, we're in a pause, where until this Kevin Durant deal gets done, everybody's waiting to see what happens because, as we all know, everybody, as Jalen said, is going to be in the mix trying to see if they can get this.
Lots more to discuss. And
absolutely,
coming up, what about Kyrie? Is it all his fault? Could he be headed to L.A. for a reunion with LeBron? That's what we're talking about next on Get Up. We're back on Get Up playing Fact or Fiction. KD wants out of Brooklyn. So, Tim, fact or fiction? He makes every NBA team a contender.
I want to say fact, but I'm going to say fiction in part because any team, if you have some of these bad teams trading for Kevin Durant, they're trading the only good players they have on their team. So, therefore, I think just by default, he can't be for every team. But certainly for the vast majority of teams, Kevin Durant
half the teams we go in half?
At least.
Okay, at least half. All right. Jalen. Fact or fiction, KD made a mistake leaving Golden State.
Oh, that's an absolute fact. Here's the deal. Like, you go to Golden State to take away the championship conversation for a Hall of Fame great player. He did that with two finals MVPs. It's one thing for them to be good without you. It's another thing for them to win the championship the same year you asked for a trade. No question.
All right, Woj told us earlier those two were tied together in some respects. Wendy, fact or fiction, Kyrie is to blame for KD's trade request.
I mean, it's a fact, but he's not the only one to blame. But he definitely played a massive, massive role. And I can't tell you how many times KD backed Kyrie. It wasn't just when he signed there. It was in the fights over who was going to be in the starting lineup. It was a fight about who was going to be the coach. Then it was a fight with Harden. Then it was a contract extension. He repeatedly backed that up, and it ended up crapping out.
Yeah, tied his faith to Kyrie, and maybe that was his biggest mistake. And you know who's putting all the blame on Kyrie? Guess. One Stephen A. Here he is on SportsCenter.
I feel that Kyrie Irving ruined the franchise. I feel that all of this is his doing. If Kyrie Irving had shown up to work, if he had been a more consistent presence, then he'd still be in Brooklyn. KD would still want to be in Brooklyn. They probably might have won a championship, or at least would have been knocking on the door again, because we all know that Kyrie Irving is a spectacular talent.
All right, back to Jalen Rose. Jay, who do you blame for this colossal super team failure?
Wow, one of the things about the mirror, it doesn't lie. And when you look in it, do you see your manager, your agent, your representative, or the truth? I can't blame Kyrie. I gotta blame KD, because he had the situation in Golden State that was lovely, playing with the Splash Brothers and Draymond Green. I was at those games, and had Kevin Durant not gotten injured, he would have won three straight championships and three straight finals MVPs. Ain't no walking away from that unless you're going to try to lead and show the world that you can win without the Warriors. And again, Bob Myers, one of the best executives in the league, and all of the fans, any media members, even players in the league, were scratching their heads when Kevin Durant joined the 73-win team. And he heard the whispers. We see his posts. We see his tweets. He heard people saying that it was a weak move for him to join their team. So he wanted to then rectify that and show everybody, like a competitor would. Like Kevin Durant is one of the greatest basketball players of all time. Kyrie is one of the best players currently in the league. You can't fault them in theory for wanting it to do it their way. Kyrie wanted to show he can do it without LeBron. KD wanted to show he could do it without the Warriors. That didn't happen. That's a self-inflicted wound.
Wow, so you are blaming KD for this situation. I mean, Nick, you're with this team day to day. What about you? I mean, you saw it right up close and personal.
And I understand completely what Jalen is talking about, because Kevin attached the end of the prime of his career to Kyrie. But
so that was a judgment call.
That was
right?
A judgment,
an error
call.
In judgment. Right.
But having been around this group all day, every day, the last 5-6 months, it's all on Kyrie. I mean, there are reasons why. There are injuries. Ownership put themselves in this situation by giving all the power to Kyrie and KD. But Kyrie almost single-handedly, and it's not just the vaccine or lack thereof of taking the shot. It's how he treated everybody. It's the things he said publicly. It was the way in which he went about his business day to day. They couldn't count on him to be out there all the time. And once all that uncertainty started to build up and the drama that surrounded it, it ultimately broke this team to the point where we're at today.
Well, that's why it's everybody's fault, right? Because Jalen's right that it's Kevin's fault for enabling Kyrie. It's Kyrie's fault for everything that he did. And it's the Nets' fault for them allowing Kevin and Kyrie to take control of the team from the beginning. We were talking about it before. The day they came to the Nets and said, we're going to play for you guys, they said, you're also going to give DeAndre Jordan $40 million.
Yeah, and you're going to hire Steve Nash as the coach.
From start to finish, those guys thought they were running the team. And as a result, we are where we are today.
All right, so where are we in terms of Kyrie? Because we're not the only ones who have been following this closely. Everybody else around the NBA, he wants to go to the Lakers. What's the situation there?
Yeah, so one of the big challenges, he makes $36 million, as you know, because he picked up that option. Mm-hmm. It's hard to trade a $36 million contract. It's especially hard to trade a $36 million contract if you're in a restructuring situation with your team. You're not looking to take on $70 million or $100 million over the next couple of years. So the amount of players that the Nets can sign, we also don't know. Maybe they trade Durant. Maybe they trade his one player for four or five players. And then you don't have the roster spots to now break it down. So first off, I think the Nets are going to have to wait and see what they do for Durant. And then they're going to have to evaluate, do they want to take on money? So Kyrie is
for the ride.
Yes, and his value is very low. He's going to be a rental player at best. He wanted to be in Brooklyn, allegedly, and looked the way he behaved. What happens if he got sent to a place he didn't want to be? And so he's made it clear he wants to be a Laker. The problem is the trade that makes sense is Russell Westbrook. Okay, that's great. The Lakers fans are in tears over that development. But Russell Westbrook makes $47
million. Right.
The trade actually
$11 million more, right?
The trade actually, it works in terms of the NBA trade rules, but it doesn't work on the books.
Especially because the Brooklyn Nets are already way into the luxury tax, and you add $11 million on top of that. You're now going backwards from talent level, and you're going upwards in luxury tax.
Jalen, your thoughts?
If they trade Kyrie, they owe him $5 million trade bonus, too.
I didn't hear that. Jalen?
20-year veteran. I can't see the show, but I think I look good, and I know I can hear you. But back to what I was saying. So here's the deal. Kevin Durant, it's okay to admit when you made a mistake. That's what I meant when I said it takes courage to be happy. Kevin Durant is admitting, guys, that he's taking the onus on this because he's breaking up with both of them. He's breaking up with the Nets, and he's breaking up with Kyrie. Just think about this. If the Nets would have gave Kyrie a long-term deal, he would have signed it. KD's already under contract, and he wants to leave. He realizes that when he looks back at his journey, he's played with some of the best players in the entire league, Kevin Durant. And he's shown playing with those guys, he can be elite. But in leaving the Golden State Warriors, he underestimated the journey that Kyrie Irving already had with not wanting to play with LeBron, how he got out of Boston. So he allowed him to be the big little brother and take the lead because the first year Kevin Durant was going to be injured. So he needed Kyrie to hold it down. So now that KD sees that he's not going to change Kyrie and he can't fix the Nets as they just traded for Ben Simmons while he's injured, he's breaking up with both of them. So that's where I lie with this situation.
And maybe at the end of the day, he just doesn't want to be the alpha, right? Maybe the best thing is go somewhere like Phoenix, have CP3 lead the way, get him his championship. All of that legacy is a discussion for another day. Jay, great to see you guys. This was just the tip of the iceberg today, right? Good way to kick off the holiday weekend, and you can do it with this too. UFC 276 tomorrow night for Vegas, another stacked card with Israel Adesanya and Alexander Volkanovski defending their belts. The main card begins at 10 Eastern on pay-per-view with the prelims at 8 Eastern on ESPN, ABC, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN Plus. And to order the main card in English and Spanish, go to ESPNplus.com/PPV. First Take is coming up next. What is the best landing spot for Kevin Durant? Would Kyrie make the Lakers contenders should he end up there? It's First Take, top of the hour. Hey, check out our next WNBA game, a Saturday matinee on ESPN and the app. Diana Taurasi and Mercury in Chicago to take on Candace Parker, and the East Conference leading Sky coverage begins at 1 Eastern. By the way, this just in, talking about Kyrie possibly going to the Lakers. The Lakers have gone from 22-1 to 10-1 to win the NBA title. By the way, the Nets, they have fallen since the KD news to 30-1. Hope y'all have a great holiday weekend. Stay safe and enjoy Christine Williamson and the gang on First Take. That's coming up right now.